Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to share the inheritance with me." He replied to him, "Friend, who appointed me as your judge and arbitrator?" Then he said to the crowd, "Take care to guard against all greed. For though one may be rich, one's life does not consist of possessions." Then he told him a parable. There was a rich man whose land produced a bountiful harvest. He asked himself, "What should I do? For I do not have space to store my harvest." And he said, "This is what I shall do. I shall tear down my barns and build larger ones. There I shall store all my grain and other goods, and I shall say to myself, 'Now as for you, you have so many good things stored up for many years. Rest, eat, drink, be merry.'" But God said to him, "You fool, this night your life will be demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, to whom will they belong?" Thus will it be for all who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich in what matters to God. Good morning. Peace be with you. Thank you. Malcolm Forbes, one of the most extraordinary men and one of the most wealthiest men who ever lived. We know him by his magazine, Forbes magazine, which still shows us and puts before us those who are the richest among us, once quipped, "He who has the most toys when he dies wins." And when he died, he had some incredible toys. He had 3 yachts, 2 airplanes, and 2 castles. Could you imagine those toys? I mean, you have to admit, you would think, wouldn't it be so nice to have that kind of prosperity, that kind of wealth, that kind of power, that kind of fame, those kinds of toys? And then you step back and you think, do I want all the stress? Do I want all the problems and the troubles that go along with that? Yes. Stephen Wright, the comedian, said, "You can't have everything because where would you put it?" But you know what? We find places for it. We work really hard at finding places for where to put it. And that's because our egos persist to desire to be qualified and to be validated in our lives by things. Things that represent who we are, things that represent what we have accomplished, things perhaps maybe what we desire to be in the future. But nevertheless, we want to validate and quantify ourselves, so we buy a bunch of things. Now there's your good things, which you put on the top shelf or behind glass or in a locked box. And you only bring out those good things, those fine things, when company comes over and you want to show them. And then you put them back on the top shelf behind the glass in the locked box. The rest of it, your things, are throughout your house. You participate in them. They become a part of who you are day in and day out. And sometimes, when you're depressed or perhaps you accomplish something great, you decide that you need some new things. So you say to your spouse, "Honey, I'm going to go out to the store and buy myself some new things." Now, it's not just your problem, because people who love you want to also validate you and also quantify your worth by buying you things for you, for your birthday, for your anniversary. And before you know it, your whole house is full of things. So what you do is you take some of your things, you wrap them up, put them in a box, you put them under the bed or in the bottom of the closet or in that little room in the basement under the porch. And now you designate those things as your stuff. So now you have more room in your house to buy more new things so that you feel good about yourself. Yes, the process continues on until your house is full, and someone comes in your house and they dare to say to you, "Look at this clutter. You have stuff everywhere." And you say to them, "Stuff? These are my things. My stuff is under my bed or in the bottom of the closet or in that little room in the basement under the porch." And then we steal continue to buy things. And we don't know what to do with them, so we get a great idea. We build a shed in the backyard. Yeah, and we take the stuff that's under our bed or in the bottom of that closet or in that room in the basement under the porch, and we take those out and we put them in the shed, and we call that our old stuff. So that we can take some of our things and pack them up and put them in the box under the bed or in the bottom of the closet or that little room under the porch in the basement and start over again. Vanities of vanities, Wilhelm says. All these things are vanities. He who labors and toils and heart under the sun. St. Paul tells us, brothers and sisters, have you died with Christ? Have you risen with Christ? Then look to heavenly things. Don't look to earthly things. Put to death those things for which hold you fast to the wealth of the earth, so that you may be able to share in the glory of God. It's a horrendous cycle that continues, and it's very hard to break. But it's not even over with the shed in the backyard. No, it isn't. See, because the entrepreneur, probably someone like Malcolm Forbes himself, invented the storage garage, right? So now you could take your old stuff out of your shed, and you can designate it as your junk, and you take it down to Guardian, and they will guard your junk for a certain price. And someone might say to you, why are you keeping all that junk? And you know what you say to them. I can't throw away that junk. It used to be my good things. Whoever dies with the most toys wins. Wins what? You're dead. Quoth even says that. You labor under the sun with wisdom and knowledge, and you gain property, and guess what? Someone that did nothing gets it. We call that an inheritance. And you give it to your children because, you know, those are your fine things and stuff and junk, and you want them to have it. And guess what happens? Yes, they might take your fine things and sell it on eBay, but the stuff under your bed and the bottom of your closet and in that room, in the basement, under the porch, and the stuff in the shed and the storage, that goes in your front yard. And they have a yard sale. And they want to get rid of it as fast as they can. Jesus warns about gaining these possessions that hold us fast to the earth because it keeps us from realizing the glory for which he's won for us, that when we're free to accept it, we have everything that we need. So what should be our mission this week? I think first and foremost, it should be that we must be aware of our egos and necessitate ourselves to validate our lives by things, stuff, and junk. And realize that that is a slippery slope that moves us away from the true purpose of who we are and causes in this trap sleepless nights. I think we should heed the words of St. Jerome, who wrote this little poem. It says, good, better, best, never let it rest until what is good is better and what is better is best. He's speaking of the progression of our lives into possessions of faith, hope, and love. You have faith, he would say, that's good. That's a good place to start. Believing in God and desiring to give your whole heart, soul, and mind and strength to him. But make what is good better by becoming people of hope. Hoping in what Christ has won so that we desire nothing of the world but only the promise of sharing in his kingdom. And if you think hope is better than best, truly is an act upon that faith and hope. We call that charity. Charity becomes the best thing that we can do in the name of Jesus, because it is there then that we fulfill his kingdom here on earth by sharing with others for which he has given us. In a few moments, you're going to see a very simple procession. You probably, maybe like me, take it for granted. A procession that is led by the cross and followed by bread and wine and your tithe. It represents our humility. It represents the things in the world for which you have toiled for and you offer in faith and hope that it may become the work, the charity of the church. We have the first fruits of the field in the bread and the first fruits of the vine in the wine. These humblest gifts become everything that we need. They become the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And when you see that procession, remember that nothing else truly matters. Nothing that we hold on to will give us what Christ himself gives of his own life, of his own bread and blood, his body and blood to us. And when you receive Holy Communion, how do you receive Holy Communion? With empty hands, with nothing that you possess. For you receive everything that you need. So when you receive him, ask for the gift of faith, because that is good to trust in the Lord. Ask for the gift of hope, because that is better who abides in the Lord. And finally, ask for the gift of charity, because that's the best. For you act in his name. No need to build bigger barns, for your possessions are great in heaven. And I promise I will do the same.